Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio. And today we have with us the Rock It Out woman, Michelle Rigby-Assad. How are you, Michelle? Well, I guess Michelle is going to connect with us in a few minutes. And today, everyone, we're talking about shattering the glass ceilings, not only within the realms of the CIA, but all over the world and throughout all industries. We have talked about and have understood that for so long we have been taken for granted, so to speak. So today, everyone, I am excited to have Michelle Rigby-Assad with us because she is going to teach us, to show us, to guide us on how to walk in our truth, live in our truth, and accept the fact that we're pretty great as usually at whatever it is that we do. So today we're also going to challenge ourselves, to ask ourselves, what are those lingering thoughts that we may have about changing the status quo in the realms of business, in the realms of intelligence. So, Michelle, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Charmaine. I'm so happy to be with you.
Listen, I am so happy to have you here with us because we so often desire change in our lives. We desire to live to our greatest potential, but so often we find these invisible glass ceilings, my dear. So we're going to talk about why they are there at all. So enlighten us on why this is so important to you.
Well, I was really touched when I read a book called The Confidence Code by Kati Kay and Claire Shipman. They're both very accomplished journalists whom I respect a great deal. And in their book, they talk about the extent to which women underestimate both our abilities and our performance, while men tend to overestimate theirs. But in study after study, it shows that our performances are the same quality. So they term this a crisis of confidence, and the natural result of low confidence is inaction. When women hesitate because we aren't sure, we hold ourselves back. And I've done that myself, Charmaine.
Wow. I wonder, why do we do that, though? Let me ask you this. Is it because we're afraid of something? Is it that we're afraid of not, I would say, assimilating into our environment? Because as you well know, every company, every environment, every business, every sector of the world, of government, has its own environment. It has its own subculture. So is it that we're afraid that we're going to stand out too much, that we won't gain those opportunities?
You know, Kati Kay and Claire Shipman explain that it's both a function of culture as well as biology. But in my own case, it's interesting. You know, you get hired to work at the CIA, and it's a very intimidating prospect. And you walk down these halls, and you think, should I even be here? And then when you look differently than people in your senior leadership positions, you have a different personality. You look differently. When there aren't role models like you, it's hard to know if you have what it takes to be a good intelligence officer to work in the field. And so for years, I really doubted whether I should be there or not.
Wow.
And it took me a very long time to appreciate how the very unique things that I brought to the table, the things that made me really different, is actually what ended up making me shine and what made me a really good intelligence officer. So I spent years self-flagellating over being so different, and it turns out that that was what made me a star in this new world that I was
walking in. Oh, my God, Michelle, because, see, in my head, 1 + 1 = 2. And it doesn't equal 2 simply because I say so. It does because it is so. And in my mind, anytime I see someone who is different, they challenge my intellect. They are challenging my status quo. They are challenging the way I think. And therefore, they cause me to pay more attention to whatever skills they may have. So I wonder to myself, how do we start indulging, encouraging, inviting women to start stepping up to the podium and saying, listen, stop looking at your differences as a setback, but really as a reset for the sector you're in.
I love it, Charmaine. I have such a good testimony of how I became aware of that. So when you're going to handle a source and you're going to debrief that source for intelligence, imagine that in the Middle East where you're fighting the terrorism, the kind of sources that you have are not necessarily nice people. They're terrorists, they're insurgents who have turned on their group to be the snitch. Now, if they're going to give you intelligence, they have to trust that you know what to do with that information and you're not going to jeopardize their lives. So if these men are from very, very conservative Islamic cultures who don't deal with women outside of the family and are culturally not allowed to deal with women, what do you think they think of me when I walk into the debriefing room?
I would think that they would think that you are, oh, what is this woman doing here? Oh, please, this is a joke. But see, in my head, that is an asset because I want you to underestimate me. I want you to take me for, listen, if everyone knew what Charmaine was thinking, this whole world would be in real trouble. I am so serious because it's like, oh, my God, does she really just think this to herself? Yes. Because I'm serious. When I
What is it? So when you're underestimated, it can be useful in intelligence because they don't understand what it is you're bringing to the table. But now if you can say to yourself, look, I'm going to use all my Arabic knowledge. I'm going to use everything I know about this source because I read up on the file and I was determined to figure him out before I walked in the room. And in those first 5 minutes of that debriefing, you use all the powers of your intelligence to impress at that source that you are knowledgeable, intelligent, you know terrorism, you understand his country and his culture, and then suddenly it's like the universe changes and that source finally says, oh my gosh, she's smart. You can sense like the dissipation of the tense feeling in the room when he finally says, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought it was. And then they will work harder to give you what you want because now they're trying to impress you. So in so many different situations, so many debriefings, I was able to get detailed intelligence that we really needed that he wouldn't give to someone else. So it turned into an advantage, or I figured out how to make an advantage.
Wow.
But how often, Charmaine, do we women step away from opportunities because we're so certain that we don't have what it takes to achieve those objectives?
Right. Oh, my God. And you know what, Michelle? I just thought about something. How often do we not realize that what was created to throw us off of our game, what was created to keep us in our place, to keep us in check, is actually a benefit for us because what it will allow, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it'll allow us to start to appreciate the brilliance of each other. And in reference to women, I think sometimes also we tend to water down our skills because of that same invisible glass ceiling. So how do we stop watering down our greatness to fit someone else's perspective of us?
Well, I think that those of us who've kind of figured this out, we have a responsibility to help those beneath us recognize their own gift. And so even little things like, did you know you're really good at X? You know, did you know that you're really smart with, you know, A, B, C, or D? And then sometimes saying, you know what, you should get some extra special training in this because I think you could really excel here. I think that if we help each other recognize our assets, it goes a long way into helping us move forward.
I'm sure.
Well, you can think in your life, Charmaine, times when somebody said, Charmaine, you know, you should really consider this. I had a university professor, a male professor, who said, do you know how smart you are? And I looked at him like he was growing a horn out of his head. I said, really? And he said, you're really smart. And I said, are you really? And I think back now, and the impression that made on me, and I started thinking, well, really? Am I that smart? Really? The person who got me into the debriefing rooms in the CIA was my husband, who is also a CIA officer. And he said, you've got to get in this debriefing room because you're going to be really good at this. And I said, really? Once again, really? And he said, yes, you need to get in there.
Incredible.
And so he brought me into his debriefing rooms with his sources, and that's what kind of started this. And then other people said, wow, he did a great job. Can you come in and talk to my source? Because he's been holding back on this key piece of intelligence that we need to stop attacks. Can you see if you can get it? Absolutely. And so then I went into that debriefing room. So little things like helping to open the door for someone else could be really life-changing.
Well, you know what I think, too, Michelle, that was interesting that you mentioned was that not only did you read the necessary information to move forward with whatever case you were working on at the time, but you also used your instincts. Now, I am a car alarm of instincts, okay? I can tell when people are lying to me. I can tell when they're lying to themselves. I am not kidding. I mean, all you have to do is have children. They will enhance your ability to tell when someone is lying
to
you.
They train you
Yes, don't they? So as a woman, how do we start tapping into those gifts, those innate natural instincts that we have? Like if your husband comes home, he comes home late, he gives you some bullcrap story about being at the gym, you know he was sitting there at the sports bar with his friends drinking and eating hot wings, but he's going to come home with hot wings on his breath, and he's going to tell you that he was at the gym. These are the kinds of things women, we pay attention to the details. So how do we start teaching women to just start tapping into that natural ability to pay attention to details?
Well, I think we know that we've got it when you're dealing with your kids, your husband, but it's also recognizing that applies in all of life. Like I'm telling you, women make the best intel officers because they pay attention to the details. So when I was given a case to handle while someone else was on vacation out of the country, I was dealing with this person who called himself a terrorist cell leader. And I was with that guy for maybe 2-3 hours, which in intelligence world feels about 5 minutes because you're doing so much stuff. And I left that debriefing and I felt horrible and I couldn't figure out what was bugging me about it. We just had a great debriefing session. I had like 10 pages of notes. I had so much intelligence. And I thought, why is this bothering me? Why am I unhappy? And so it was my intuition telling me there was something wrong there. And it took me days to unpack it out of my subconscious brain. And what I eventually realized was that he was not behaving like all the other terrorist bad guys I had met. So I had a baseline understanding of what a bad guy acts like. They walk in the room, and they're so arrogant, they fill that whole room up. Well, just opposite of that, this guy, I kept thinking, he's so nervous, he's going to pee his pants. Like, he was shaking like a leaf. He was sweating. This is weird. And so what my intuition told me was, this man is not behaving like a cell leader. And then it took a series of debriefs after that to then, you know, prove my theory that he had been fabricating his access and intelligence for nearly a year, and nobody had picked up on that. So the guy was never, never a cell leader. He was never a terrorist. But it was me not wanting to back down on that intuitive sense that something was wrong. I would not let it go. But if I hadn't ruminated on it for like days, I wouldn't have figured it out.
Wow. Because you know what's so funny? You said that when you mentioned that, you know, this person really wasn't a terrorist. And it was so funny because coming from New York City, we can tell when someone is putting 100 on 10. We can tell when I'm not kidding. Like, you know, we can really tell when a person is putting 100 on 10 because the stories don't quite add up. And the behavior, you know, your body gestures will tell you and will tell me if what you're telling me is true. When people lean back in their chair, you're telling me that you're avoiding me. When people don't look you in the eye, there's something about me, that intimidates you, that you're avoiding my eye. Certain things, and I have nothing to do with intelligence, but I do know a liar when I see one. My children, I'm not kidding, they will teach you how to lie badly. So, yes. So I love the fact that you mentioned about, I'm serious, like setting those standards and walking in when something doesn't feel right. You don't need someone else's ignorance to confirm what it is that you know your intuition is telling you. So everyone sit tight and hold close because this conversation is getting so great. We have to take a short commercial break and we'll be back.
Join us at thevisionarywoman.com, a media network of women, for women, by women. Watch our hosts of insightful video exchange interviews. Listen to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio to empower your evenings and read fascinating articles of perseverance and inspiration, all with you in mind. Visit thevisionarywoman.com and follow us on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
So welcome back, everyone, from that very wonderful commercial. And Michelle was talking with us about standing our ground when something doesn't feel right. So, Michelle, we've gone through the instincts. We've gone through standing our ground. But tell us, what are the other reasons why women, we feel this sense of pressure, this sense of being better, breaking doors down, when in actuality, some of those doors really don't exist. They're kind of a mirage of things that certain people have not accomplished, but who's to say we can't accomplish it? So why are those things there?
You know, that's such a good question. It's hard to answer because I think it's slightly different for each person, but I think there's just we fear that which we don't understand. We fear that which we don't know. And so if I have never been in the CIA, how the heck do I know if I'm going to be any good at being an intelligence officer? You know, I had nothing to I didn't know anyone who'd ever even worked in Washington, D.C. I didn't understand that world at all. Now, the challenge, so a lot of those glass ceilings, we have created ourselves in our minds about that which we're capable. And we say, you know what, I'd like to try that, but I don't know that I'm smart enough or experienced enough. So when we were talking earlier about the guy who I thought was a fabricator and wasn't a real terrorist, the people I talked to said, oh, no, everybody thinks he's great. You're wrong. Everyone, the smart people, you know, all the well-read people all agree that his stuff's amazing. And so I could have gotten intimidated by the idea that smarter people than I were looking at this case. And I decided to move forward in spite of it. And what I realized was my street smarts counted more than this kind of intellectual view of things separated, you know, from the field sitting back in D.C. And so it turns out at the end of the day that I was right and they were wrong, but I had to stand up even though I felt a bit intimidated to do it and speak what I thought was the truth.
Wow.
So you know, I think that's great. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was commending you on that because that requires a lot of courage, and that requires some serious self-esteem. I mean, really. I mean, you didn't exhibit. No, for real. Like, that's almost like saying, okay, Charmaine, I have, you know, this particular suspect, and you expect me to give you my for real opinion? No, I would not, because I have no education, no license, no background in any of this. So I'm so proud of the fact that you mentioned this. You said, and I quote, you had all of these other colleagues who had all this other experience, and they had the intellect. But what they were missing was the street smart. So how do we we come to the realization that we have a lot of assets to bring to the table? And because sometimes when you're diving into certain sectors, there you almost live in a bubble. So you have no way of really sharpening those skills. You know what I'm saying? I would literally take the advice of a New York City police officer, because their skills are constantly sharpened. I mean, come on, this is New York, really? All the time.
Indeed.
Sharpened. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
And so what
about
I tell
that?
Women is that courage. Courage is a muscle, and so in order to develop courage, you have to do things that scare you a little bit. But it doesn't mean you have to, like, jump off the edge of the cliff every time. It means you take little baby steps, and you scare yourself a little bit. You take something on that you're not quite sure if you're capable. And it's interesting, the more that you push yourself out of your area of comfort, it doesn't even need to be anything grand and spectacular, but you realize you get this surge of confidence, and then it grows each time you try something new and different. So that by the time you get to that fabricating liar source, you have the courage you need to do what's right. So, you know, a lot of people go, well, I'll never be in that situation. Well, maybe not right now, but you could be in a similar situation in the future.
Of course.
If you take baby steps today, you'll grow that courage.
Wow. And you know what? I think, too, as women, we want to tackle the world all at once, don't we? I mean, we want to change the world all at once. Burn your bra today, become president tomorrow. The next thing you know, you're running the world, right? All in a span of 48 hours. Yes, right? But what you said was what caught my attention. Baby steps. We may not get to where we want to be right now, but everything that we're doing is preparing us for where we're going tomorrow, and therefore our tomorrow will give us a greater reward than our today. So how do we start saying to ourselves, okay, listen, I have to start taking these natural courses in which I need to go through to gain my success. How do I start being comfortable with that without feeling like I'm a failure?
Maybe do it with a friend. Maybe do it with a colleague. Maybe take some steps together, because there's a little bit more confidence when there's more than one of you. So I decided to learn how to ride a motorcycle. And it took me a long time to figure out that that was something I should even consider. But of course, once again, my husband's like, well, why don't you get your own motorcycle? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to ride one. Well, you go to class and you learn. I said, me? He said, yeah, of course you. Like, you can do this. And I said, well, I can't. He's like, okay, Michelle, once again, you need to give this a try. And so a girlfriend and I went together and went to motorcycle classes. And at the end of that week, took the test and got the motorcycle license. So even little things like that can make me feel so good about myself. Like, I can ride a motorcycle.
Girl, I'm coming to see you, Michelle. We got to get on some motorcycles, although I'm terrified of motorcycles, but I don't know about that. But I feel more safe with you than I do with someone else. That's really, really, that is really, really great. Because what you're saying is facing your fears will allow you to enhance and to develop into the woman of greatness that you were created to be. You know what I find funny? Because every single thing that ever scared me, I was forced to do it somehow, some way, some shape. Literally, I would say to myself in my mind, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm scared of death. That's not going to work for my agenda. that will not work for my agenda. And then I promise you, within about a 30-day span, I'm literally facing that fear head on. And it is not because I chose to. Remember, you chose the motorcycle. I didn't go to the motorcycle. The motorcycle came to me. So I'm, you know, when I think when we don't realize that if we try to avoid what scares us, somehow it pops up anyway.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point. It'll come back to you. Yeah. Give me another chance.
Yeah, and then they say, come back on the motorcycle. And then you say, no, I'm scared to death of the motorcycle 30 days later. Come back to the motorcycle. Okay, yeah, well, then a motorcycle is the only thing that can save you from whatever circumstances you're in at the time. These are the kinds of crazy things that pop up in my world. So how do we start to say, okay, I'm just going to engage in my fears and use it as a tool to propel me into my greatness? How do we do that?
Well, I like to ask myself a question. What's the worst that can happen? You took the motorcycle class. What's the worst that could happen? You could fail the exam and then not get your license. And then if you want to, you could try and take it again and practice on the side with some friends. Like, what's the worst that could happen? And usually, whatever that answer is to that question is really not that bad. I think I very rarely encountered a time when I ever met that worst case scenario, because you usually do so much better than you imagine yourself doing. I mean, I bust through all these glass ceilings in my mind in the CIA. You know, we had a whole year of training once we were hired, and I did things I never imagined doing, shooting guns, driving cars fast, surveillance detection, handling assets, learning how to write intelligence reports, all of these things that I had never even heard of before. And I learned how to do them one after the other after the other. And I shocked myself because I was so terrified. I'm telling you, I was like hands shaking, sweating, and every single one of them.
Wow.
Terrified.
Wow.
And completely intimidated. But I pushed myself and said, you're going to do this. You're not going to let anybody know how very scared you are right now. You're just going to do it. And I came out on the other end on all of these things and did really well at it.
Oh, wow. Girl, you better. Girl, that is rocking it out. I'm not kidding. That is some serious rocking it out. Because I cannot even imagine. First of all, I can't even imagine driving a car over 75 miles an hour, for real, because in my head, I'm always thinking, you know, the soccer mom, like, oh, my God, now what happens if crazy over there plows into me, so we all going to die? See, I think like this all the time, so I choose not to ask myself these perplexing questions. What I tend to do is I'm actually the person who just jumps off the cliff, right, without even thinking. Because if I start thinking, I'm extraordinarily analytical. And so I of the most worst thing that will happen to me, and it usually ends in my funeral. So I choose not to go there. I just say, okay, something greater than myself has to be able to catch me if I fall. So, listen, I'm just going to make it happen.
Yes.
So you know what I love, Michelle? Michelle, you've got to tell my audience about your website, about everything that you're doing. So we only have 1 minute. Tell me, what are the things that you're doing right now that my audience can reach out to you with?
Oh, wow. I have a website, Michelle Rigby Assad, one L in Michelle, two S's in Assad. And I have a forthcoming book called Breaking Cover, which will be out in June. It'll be available in all the normal places. And really the bottom line of Breaking Cover, it's a memoir, but it's really breaking our own self-limiting behavior, breaking our ideas of what we're capable of, and breaking through some glass ceilings in the process. It's using my story to encourage other men and women to try things that scare them and to have courage to do things that intimidate them. Because at the end of the day, you will be shocked at where that takes you, to some really wonderful, incredible places. Yes.
Wow. Well, everyone,
and I'm,
listen. Oh,
I'm available.
Michelle,
any comments, questions? Yep.
Yes. Yes, everyone. Well, we've got to connect with Michelle. But, everyone, it has been a joy to have you here with us. Join us at thevisionarywoman.com. We'll talk with you soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.